Proper Now, or the Collective, is made up of 8 artists, and 3 of them are women, and 5 are men. And yeah, I guess we're just friends, a loose bunch of friends, artists who get together and engage and just talk about things and make art. And it's Brisbane based. They started some time ago. I've been with the Collective roughly about 3 years, and I was invited because my art resounds with the attitude or the type of thinking that that they were doing in Brisbane at the time. The Now in the name is relevant to what we do and what we're about, because we as artists, we respond to the now and to what's happening at the very moment. We get together and we talk about you know, the Aboriginal condition in relation to, you know, the art world, in relation to government policy, in relation to things that are happening in the world. And it's happening now, so we try and be relevant to its time. Like, we don't look back in our history, we don't try to make art, you know, about tradition, about ceremony, about ritual. We make art about now, in a sense, you know. We're engaging with culture as it's unfolding, as it happen. So, like, that's the now element, and, you know, like, proper now, the proper part of it. It resounds with protocol, doing things the right way, engaging with the right ethics, and because I guess we realise that there's a whole lot of people that had gone before us, you know, that makes it easy for us to do what we do, that makes it easy for us to do these political commentaries about concerns and issues. So it's like the momentum is there, and we're just a group of people that are working with the same momentum. We're going the right direction. We're picking up the fight and the argument, and constructing it proper way. We do it the right way. We do it with the right ethics that does not offend or undermine us as Aboriginal people. Yeah, it's just our expressions of our Aboriginality now, and which is often contrary to you know, white Western discourse or cultural colonialism. We're living in the city, we're making art about Aboriginal experience within the city. And, you know, there's great forces, you know, within the art that controls the perception of who we are. So we want a more, you know, correct representation of Aboriginal people. Like, for example, I don't know if the demographics are correct, but when you look at all of Australia's artists, about 80% of all Australian artists are Aboriginal. And that's quite a large number of artists, given that we're only, you know, 2-4% of the population in Australia. And now, of those 80% Aboriginal artists, or 100% of Aboriginal artists, probably about, you know, 80-90% of those Aboriginal artists actually live in cities or urban-based areas. So, you know, roughly about 10% are remote area or tradition-oriented artists. But yet, the galleries, the collections, how we're represented overseas, you know, is like 80-90% you know, tradition oriented, or dots or barks, or you know, the tradition oriented art. We actually coined a term for that genre of art. The term we often refer to is Ooga Booga, and Ooga Booga means to me, we all have different meanings, but it's like Aboriginal art are made for the white man's want of spirituality. So, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, because, you know, so many white people are making art, are money from Aboriginal art, so there's nothing wrong with an Aboriginal person making money to do, you know, from doing, you know, Aboriginal Ooga Booga spiritual sort of art, if that's what, you know, the white man wants. But or the argument is that we just got to be totally aware and know what we are doing. We know that what we're doing is we're providing a want or a need, yeah, as Aboriginal artists. And to me, there are things that we as Aboriginal people cannot compromise. Like, really, the real, you know, so-called spiritual, cultural, powerful, strong, secret, sacred work got no place in the galleries, got no place in a white man's home. They belong with the people in our own keeping place. So, you know, like, we're questioning the art institutions, the art market, the art world, why they continually represent us, you know, with tradition-oriented work, and it keeps our culture, like in the Stone Age. And I guess to them also it's non-confrontational, and it's easy, it's safe, and, you know, and romanticised and patronised, and it's not real, you know, it's not real Aboriginal art. It's a construct for their white perceptions of us. And we as a collective is constantly talking about that and confronting that and fighting that, and so that that we can be seen and represented in the reality of how it is. In the past, you know, I've kind of made work, you know, with overt kind of political content or in your face, so to speak. But, you know, like my art, personally, I often say, you know, it's on the interface where Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal cultures converge, and I'm making, you know, political commentary or addressing issues and concerns, you know, like, I suppose, land rights, Aboriginal identity, deaths in custody, alcoholism, domestic violence, you know, those kind of dysfunctions, social dysfunctions, often they would manifest itself in my practice. And often, you know, those works that I have done would be kind of large, multifaceted, multidimensional, and, you know, very layered in their meaning. So a lot of people often said, oh, you know, that my work is just so saturated with concepts. And in a sense, you know, one painting could be really made up of 20 paintings, or there's 20 ideas in the one work. So of recent time, I've sought to clarify or simplify or try and take one concept, do one painting or one work of art without losing the power or the impact or the confrontation. So the way that I went about that is I took it right back to, you know, the genesis, and the genesis of my art often comes from concepts and ideas that often gets written in scraps of paper, visual diaries, and then slowly the idea and concepts develops in complexity as well. And the body of work that I've done for the show is just called Animals. And all it is drawing on the standard piece of drawing paper, be it Canson or Stonehenge. And I've just got all these books with animals. I've watched documentaries. I've went to zoos. I've observed, you know, animals, you know, every time, you know, I have the chance, you know, see how they look, see how they move. And all I've done was just drawn an animal. And there's about 16 drawings of different animals. And conceptually, it relates to my practice, in that my practice is like, it's a continuum. My practice is accumulative, and everything that I do is connected and attached to what I've done in the past. Like, the relationship there is that you can see the ideas that I got from, I suppose, George Orwell, when he done the book or the film animal farm whereby he used the animals as metaphors to our humanity. You know, have the pigs as like the entrepreneurs, the businessmen, the government, the money men, the exploiters, and the other farm animals as like, you know, the peasants or people lower down the social structure. And yeah, it kind of reeks of capitalist exploitation, you know. So in a sense, you know, like my work resounds with that right from the start, whereby I've used native animals to be Aboriginal people, and I've used introduced species to resound with or to be introduced peoples. So the colonisers become, you know, the introduced species that cause so much harm to our land, to our environment, to dispossessed us. So that's the metaphor that I'm using. Like, you know, for example, I used to do I do a lot of kangaroos in my work, because kangaroos are very symbolic of Aboriginal Australia and of Australia. But you know, the cattle, the sheep, the pastoralists have removed the kangaroo from the landscape in many places, but they're still also, you know, culling that animal. So, you know, I've used that in the past as a symbol of resistance, as a symbol of power and strength. I often used to have, you know, native animals subjugating or beating up or defeating or becoming victorious over, you know, the introduced species as a metaphor to we as Aboriginal people to restore, you know, the power that we have within our traditions and our culture. So this body of work that I've done here is a continuation of that. Like, it's not about just Aboriginal rights, but Aboriginal rights is human rights. And there's that old cliche, you can tell how civilized, how advanced a culture, a tradition, a people is by the way that we treat our animals, you know, and by the way that we treat our environment. And like Western culture, the Australian culture, the Australian government is a very backward race or very backward people by their mentality, by their attitude, by the way they treat the land, by the way they treat their animals, and also by the way they treat each other. So the work that I've done here is just a continuation of my practice, and it's about the way we treat the earth, the way we treat the world. It's about the diminishing species. It's about animals that have been extinct, animals that are being threatened. I mean, it's just pictures of animals. I just love animals, yeah.